This episode is for couples that fight a lot. Life is stressful enough. Our relationship should be a source of peace and not chronic stress. In this episode, I'm going to share how couples can spend less time in conflict and how they can fight less. Also, when you two are spending less time fighting as a result of these tips, what can you do with that extra time? Welcome. This is the Healthy Relationship Secrets for Parents podcast, the podcast that saves your relationship from parenthood. Our mission is to help parents have a healthy relationship and be great parents at the same time. My name is Jason A. Polk, and I've worked exclusively with couples as a therapist and coach for over 9 years. I want to share some of my clinical experience as well as personal experience. On the personal side, previously in my life, I've been divorced, but now I'm happily married and we have 2 kids. The first thing I do when a couple comes to me and one of their presented issues is fighting a lot, I assess the degree of their fighting. Things I'm interested in are, 1, what happens if someone tries to end the fight? 2, do they fight in front of their kids? 3, what commonly triggers a fight? Starting with the first question, what happens if someone tries to end a fight? What I often see is that one partner may try to end the fight with something like, I'm done, I've had it, and then they start walking away. However, the act of ending it like this and walking away can be triggering for some people. It's like, don't you dare walk away from me, or, oh, you want to end this? I'm the one who's mad here, and you need to listen. Usually, someone with this stance has older abandonment experiences. Experiences of being left or being dropped, so to speak. Generally, the partner with this stance just wants the other person to move forward with a hug and a sorry. It really is a simple fix. But the problem is, the other partner who wants to leave is responding to their anger and are in a place where they can't move forward. Often what happens if we're a recipient of anger, most of us just tend to shut down. And John Gottman calls, we tend to stonewall. And often we don't have it in us to move forward in those situations. For couples like this, I have them agree to use a timeout. And I'll put a link to the timeout structure I use in the show notes. And it's really important. When I work with couples and I give them the tool, the timeout, I may preface it with, if you two don't agree to use a timeout, then I can't work with you. It really is that important. Especially if they argue in front of the kids. The reason being is that kids have porous boundaries. They take it in and assume that the fighting is their fault. Also, you two are modeling. This is what you do when you're in a relationship. As a result, I really recommend the timeout. And a lot can be resolved if you two have agreements on using a timeout. And let me just share some common objections I hear from the timeout. Okay, are we going to talk about it? Is my partner going to come back if they end it? And built into the timeout that is linked in the show notes is just that. If one person calls a timeout, it's their duty after 20 minutes to check in. And this is what we call appropriate space. But it's under the thought, or I should say, under the fact that if we're triggered, we only care about one thing, and that's protecting us at all cost. We don't care about relationship tools. So the more we continue to interact when we're triggered, the more damage we're doing to the relationship. And everything we say or do, if we hang in there, when we're mad, when we're pissed, when we're triggered, we're going to have to apologize for later. This is a reminder for the timeout. I feel like I need to reiterate this. Everything we say or do when we're pissed off at each other, we're going to have to apologize for later. And also built into the timeout that I really want you two to read is that when reconnecting after the 20 minutes, if it is the 20 minutes you two come back, don't pick up where you left off. Don't talk about the subject matter that triggered the initial fight for another 24 hours. And the idea is that this is too fresh in your mind. And so give it a little bit of time, because we need time to cool down. We need time for perspective. And that is our friend in relationships. But we need to do it appropriately. It's not this time out and no one knows we're going to talk about things. It's, I call a time out, and then built into it, 20 minutes, I'm going to come back. And then we're going to agree in a day or so, and whenever it works, that we talk about the issue that triggered the fight, if need be. The third thing that I look for when couples have the presenting issue of fighting, I want to know what triggers the fight. And this question, honestly, is best answered in the middle of session when we're working it together. But a common trigger that couples are not usually aware of is a deeper dynamic of a pursue-distance cycle. And this is a call to action for anyone listening. I want to be able to demonstrate what this looks like with real-life examples. So if you're listening to this and you would be open for free relationship coaching while being recorded, I would love to have you two on. Going back to the common example of the pursue-distance cycle, what is sometimes underneath the conflict and the arguing, let me share briefly. And that is, one partner may be more oriented or may want more connection. And so what happens is sometimes they may pursue that connection and often angrily pursue that connection. And then the other partner may have a reflex for more distance or for more space. And then so when the other partner pursues the connection, the partner who is more distancing will withdraw. And then the other partner may continue to pursue, or as I said, angrily pursue, and that makes it so the other person wants more space and withdrawals. And that can be an underlying factor at a lot of fighting. If you're able to diagnose yourself as being in this cycle, let me share you some quick things to do. If you tend to be more on the pursuing side, I always recommend sharing vulnerability. For example, I'm feeling less connected to you. And then adding a request onto that sharing of vulnerability. For example, I'm feeling less connected to you, and I would like for us, just the two of us, to go out on a date. That is an example of vulnerability plus a request. So what I'm getting at is you're taking care of that initial, you know, I guess, knee-jerk reaction, or I should say you're taking care of the part of you that wants more connection while being relational. Now, if you fall on the other side of tending to default to more distance, your work is appropriate space, and that is to be aware of your need for space. And also, too, maybe you like to unwind by yourself. Some of us like to unwind while talking out loud. Some of us like to unwind just, you know, by ourselves in our own little world, so to speak. And if that is your reflex, you need to be able to take care of that part of you while being relational. And that is appropriate space. For example, maybe you just got home. Hey, dear, I need 20 minutes for myself to unwind. After that, I'm all yours. That is taking care of your need for space while being relational. Because after all, you are in a relationship. And fundamentally, the point of that is to connect. And so I often coach people and coach partners to be aware of these reflexes, and you can take care of them while being relational. Now, things that you can do on your side of the seesaw if you find yourself in a relationship where there is a lot of fighting. As humans, we have a variation of three initial responses when we're triggered. That could be fight, flight, or fix. So if you're a couple that tends to fight often, I'm going to assume that your immediate knee-jerk reaction when triggered is fight. Chances are, if this is your reaction, you grew up in a household where there was a lot of fighting. And if not, you know, you could be an exception, and that's totally fine too. If you did grow up in a house where there's a lot of fighting, you may need to fight, argue, to protect yourself. And I often share that it was adaptive then. Your initial knee-jerk reaction was adaptive then, but nowadays it's maladaptive. Adaptive then, maladaptive now. The thing is, that initial knee-jerk reaction is not going to go away, but we need to cultivate a different relationship with it. And that is our work. Let me share one way to go about this. And this was from the book, How Not to Hate Your Husband After Kids by Jan C. Dunn. And she shares her couples therapist experience, which someone happens to be my mentor, Terry Real. And this was Terry's intervention with her because her initial knee-jerk reaction was fight. Terry told her, you can go ahead and argue with your partner, with your husband, in front of your kids. You can go ahead and do it. That's fine. However, before you do that, I want you to go to the closet, pull out a picture of your kids, and say to that picture, me being mad and indulging in my anger right now is more important than your well-being. And she shares in the book that she actually started to tear up a bit when he shared that to her. But that is the work. You need to work it so that initial knee-jerk reaction of fight is ego dystonic. That is a fancy, fancy term that I don't really like, but I don't know a better way to put it. Ego dystonic means that it doesn't fit with the person that you want to be. It doesn't fit with who you are. And so you have to cultivate a different relationship with that part of you that wants to fight. And so what Terry was doing here, he was just cultivating a little bit of space between that time when she was triggered and her response. So maybe you can find your own mantra that works for you. It could be just simply, I'm not going to indulge in anger right now because this is not the person that I want to be. I'm not going to indulge in anger right now because I don't want to set this example for my kids. Whatever that is, but fundamentally, that's your work. Another term we use for this, it's choosing door B. That is, we can choose a door A, or we can choose a door B. If we choose door A, that is our initial knee-jerk reaction. So that would be the fight, flight, or fix, whatever that is. If we choose a door B, that is creating space from the time we're triggered and then having a different reaction. So for Jancy, in this example, when she was triggered, she took a deep breath and went up to her closet and said that mantra. And then chances are she came back as centered, and she was able to do a more appropriate response. Okay, if you two are using timeouts and you understand deeper patterns to your fighting, and you're cultivating a relationship with the parts of you that get triggered, or a relationship to the part of you when you're triggered, then the question is, what do you do as a result of that extra time you saved not fighting? And I have a very simple answer. That is, what can you do that can make your partner feel loved? So it's important to think about that. I do know you most likely know something that you've done in the past that is making your partner feel loved, or something that you're currently doing. But think about that and then do it. Simple as that. If you need help with this, maybe you can guess what your partner's love language is. I know you can go online and take a love language quiz, but I'll share the 5 love languages real quickly. That is quality time, words of affirmation, physical touch, acts of service, or gifts. Maybe one of those really pops out to you, that what is your partner's, and then do it. If you're spending less time fighting, then now is the opportunity to create more connection and harmony in your relationship. Now is the time to start doing things that are nice. Also, here's a good question. What do you appreciate about your partner? So think about that and then share that. So that's the work. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. In this episode, I did mention if you would like free relationship coaching with me, and you're up for being recorded and being on the podcast, I was serious. Shoot me a message. Shoot me an email, and we'll arrange that. Email me at connect@relationshipfixed.com. Again, thank you so much for listening. Hey, if you like this, I would love for you to give us a review and share this with your friends and family members who could benefit from this information. Thank you so much for listening.